Thank you, Stephen. Turn your Bible to Matthew chapter number 5. Matthew chapter number 5. We're studying the Beatitudes, part of the Sermon on the Mount. Certainly, these are the attitudes of the kingdom of God. As the Lord gave this series of great truths, He was in the midst of quite a religious society. Everyone claimed to believe in God. Everyone claimed a certain relationship to God. The Jews felt they were a part of the kingdom of God. And the Lord is revealing the attitudes, the true attitudes of the kingdom of God. He's given a true description of true belief in the Lord. And today we live in a day when there's a lot of Christianity. Even our little area is filled with mega churches. There's a great host of people professing to know God. These are the true attitudes of the kingdom of God. These get down to the root, to the heart, to the real issue of what does it mean to know the Lord, to be His children. They search our own hearts. They have a means of correcting our pathway and getting us back into the right mode of thinking and operating. And they are certainly an opportunity to refocus our lives as Christians. The Bible tells us in verse 8, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. What does this mean? Blessed are the pure in heart. Of course, some would say, well, you know, it doesn't matter. What it means is you have purity of heart, and it doesn't matter how you live. No. That is a contradiction. It cannot be. There is no such thing. In fact, the idea of the heart, the purity of heart, really the emphasis is the idea of singleness. Singleness. It's in contrast to a divided heart in which a person is pulled two different ways. Purity of heart speaks of a single-mindedness, an undividedness. Purity of heart would be parallel with Matthew 22 and verse 37. Matthew 22 and verse 27. If I've copied it right. 37. Excuse me. Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. Someone says, well, I'm not such a bad sinner. Well, would it make you a bad sinner if you break the most important commandment? That'd make you a bad sinner, wouldn't it? The Bible says the first and greatest commandment is love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. This speaks of purity of heart, single-mindedness. Speaks of complete devotedness. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, we have an interesting statement about what does the true knowledge of God's Word bring? What does the knowledge of the Scripture, what is the true result of knowing the Bible? What is the result of God's Word? 1 Timothy 1:5. It says, now the end of the commandment is charity out of a pure heart. An undivided heart. A single-minded heart. Purity. Blessed are the pure in heart. Actually, when we think of the heart, many times we think of the heart specifically we think of it in contrast to other things, to the conscience, to the will, to the affections. But although I believe that the heart emphasizes the will more than the heart. And why would I say that? I think because many people have a so-called feeling, but they don't have the will to do anything about it. And the heart represents that inward being that is moved to action because of its functioning. But really, in this sense, the heart refers to your whole being. It refers to your whole person. It refers to your will. It refers to your mind. And it refers to your affections. Pure in heart refers to your inner being. To be pure in heart is to be pure in your will and in your mind and in your affections. Blessed are the pure in heart. It has to do with as well, has to do with a holy God. Turn to 1 John 1. Verse 5. 1 John 1 and verse 5. Very interesting verse. This then is the message which we have heard of him. He summarizes the message of the Bible in revealing the character and the person of God. This is the message which we have heard. He's summarizing the revelation of the Scriptures. And what is the message of the Scriptures? God is light. And in Him is no darkness at all. Wow. People say, you know, that Maquoketa Baptist Church, they're really conservative. I say, I fear we fall far short of the holiness of God. There's a God who's far holier than anything that we could ever stand for. Because God is light. Pure to the nth degree. You know, this comparing yourself, man with man, and religion with religion, that is so foolish. You can always find someone that's more wicked than ourselves. We can always find some religion that is weaker. That is of no real avail. Our whole duty is to compare ourselves with God. God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. Blessed are the pure in heart. My definition of that phrase is to be pure in heart is when our whole being, intellect, emotion, and will are given to please and to walk in fellowship with the Holy God. When our whole being is given to please and to walk in fellowship with the Holy God, our mind. Psalm 19:14. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Our mind, our will, yield not yourselves as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive unto dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. I probably misquoted that. But the will, the ability to yield to God and to decisively choose that which is right. The will, the affections. Not wanting nor desirous of the sins of this world or of life, but desirous of sweet communion with God. You know, there are no mistakes in the Bible. the order of the Beatitudes is so perfectly perfect. And God in His counsel would be able to explain all of it to us. But they aren't just in a random order. We know that because God never does anything like that. But it seems the first three are the kind of the crux of the whole Beatitudes. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are they that mourn. Blessed are the meek. Those certainly produce the fourth beatitude. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness. Those first three are the prerequisite, the foundation for the fourth. Blessed are the merciful. Seems that is a parallel to blessed are the poor in spirit. Those who are able to give up their rights. Blessed are the pure in heart. Seems to apply and is a parallel to blessed are they that mourn. Blessed are they that mourn. Those who mourn over their sin. Those who see their sin as sin. Those who grieve at the sinfulness of their own heart. Those who see the sinful weakness of the human nature. Those who see sin as grievous as it truly is. Blessed are they that mourn. That is the prerequisite to this beatitude to take place. Blessed are the pure in heart. Someone has said this, those that are pure in heart are those who have been moved by the impurity of their heart. There's a relationship. Those who have a heart to be holy, those whose will is energized to make those decisions, to be far from her, and to draw nigh to God, and to do it with spiritual energy, not with apathy or have to or any of that. It's energized by the humility of spirit that mourns over sin. There's definitely an order. There's definitely a relationship amongst these Beatitudes. Turn with me to Psalm 51 and we see that to be true in the prayer of David and his confession of his sin. Psalm 51. Here is a man mourning over his sin. Mourning over his fact that he was shapen in iniquity. He is mourning over the fact, against thee and thee only have I sinned. And this is his prayer. Purge me with hyssop, verse 7, and I shall be clean. You know, this is a great contrast to the lost, the unsaved, Do the unsaved cry to be clean? No, this unsaved world is lost in sin, bound in the slavery of sin. And many times the outward expression of their life is, oh, whatever sin I can get. And yet, the person who knows God wants to be cleansed from sin. Notice the mourning of his soul. Purge me with hyssop and I shall be clean. Wash me, please, wash me, and I will be whiter than snow. Hide thy face from my sins. Blot out mine iniquities. Create in me a clean heart. Clean heart. You say, what is a clean heart? Notice what it says, verse 12. It says, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. We'll get to that later. But notice David's desire for a clean heart. Blessed are they that mourn. Blessed are the pure in heart. You kind of see how it isn't just an emotion. It's a permeating attitude that permeates the soul, permeates the mind, it permeates the will, and it permeates the affections. You know what the Bible says? It says, Matthew chapter 5, verse 8, it says, blessed are the pure in heart. Blessed are the pure in heart. This is talking about a special spiritual blessing that is a result or is a part of being pure in heart. Blessed! This person is in the direct favor with God. This person is in specific communion with the God of heaven. This person is walking on special ground. The world doesn't know anything about this. The world doesn't know anything about this. Fools make a mock at sin. That's what Hollywood is all about, most of it. They mock at sin. Picture it with bright lights, as though it is something to want, something to desire. That's what our world is tugging at the hearts of young people. Come, give me your soul. Let me fill it with darkness. The wretched state of sin, ruining lives. But the Lord Jesus, He said, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed. You know, there is this wonderful blessedness of being free from the defilement of sin. There is a wonderful blessedness of being free from the defilement of sin. Turn with me to Titus chapter 1, a great verse in the Bible. Wonderful verse in the Bible. Lost people don't know about this verse. The world doesn't understand this verse. The liberal thinking can't comprehend this verse. Titus 1:15.
unto the pure, all things are pure. But unto them that are defiled and disunbelieving is nothing pure. But even their mind and their conscience is defiled. Purity is a wonderful thing. It's a wonderful thing not to have the thoughts of sin. It's a wonderful thing not to have the twisted thinking of a wicked world in one man, in a man's mind and soul. To the pure, all things are pure. I don't know how to say it, but you know, some men, they can't even think straight. Everything they think is twisted. They can't think purely. It's outside of their realm. Their mind has been so twisted by sin. They're captive. They're slave to the monster of sin. Do you realize what a blessing young people is to be raised in a Christian home? You hear others tell you, oh, what a blessing it is to be in a Christian home. And you see the bright lights of the world, and the world says, oh, hey, come on this way. And your friend authorities in your life said, don't go that way. You know why? Because sin twists the mind. Sin not only twists the mind, it twists the will. It makes the most debauchering thing pleasurable. Sin defiles. It's a wonderful thing. Purity is a wonderful thing. It's a wonderful thing never to have stolen. It's a wonderful thing to never have seen a pornographic picture. It's wonderful if God has allowed you to be free from the wickedness of the world. It's a wonderful thing. The Bible says, to the pure, all things are pure. And you've heard me give this illustration before, so you just have to listen anyhow. But you know, one time somebody was working for a nursery and came into the house. And we usually have dinner at the house there. They all come in for a big crowd or whatever reason. There's a roll of stamps sitting there. I suppose by that, but in those days it was $34 worth. You know, nowadays there's inflation taking place in the post office. A roll of stamps is, how much is it now? $44. But it was a roll of stamps, unused roll of stamps. You know, most people don't have rolls of stamps around, you know. They write a letter once in a while, but you got a business, you got rolls of stamps. We had a roll of stamps sitting there, just gotten it from post office, just sitting on our counter, you know, just sitting there. And so I got a call from this boy's dad. says, you know, my son came home and he had a roll of stamps. And I thought, what is he doing with a roll of stamps? He might write one letter a year. He doesn't need a roll of stamps. But you know, didn't need a roll of stamps more than a man in the moon. But you know, when you have tasted stealing and you see something, ooh, roll of stamps. Nobody's looking. That could fit in my pocket, nobody would see it. You know, people who've stolen, that's what they think. But you know, a person who hasn't stolen, they'd see that they could see that roll of stamps 100 times, and never, ever think of taking it. It just never entered into their mind. Why? Because to the pure, all things are pure. You know, it's a wonderful thing to be pure. It's a wonderful thing to be freed from the defilement of sin. Our world doesn't know much about that. And you could just name sin after sin after sin. It's all out there. You know, we could name all sorts of, give all sorts of illustrations. A person that's free from the sin of laziness. When they go somewhere, they see work. And they see an opportunity to do something positively in life. But a lazy person, they don't see work. They don't know what it looks like. There's trash on the ground. They won't even enter into their mind that maybe they should pick that up. Not a chance. Their mind has been defiled by the sin of laziness. The Lord says, blessed are the pure in heart. That blessedness, first of all, is free from defilement. It is free from the thoughts and the temptations and the bombardments of sin that people face over and over and over and over and over and over. It's a blessed thing to be pure. Young person, may God help you to know that to be true. Sin is best known from innocence. Because God said it. Not from experience. Blessed is also positive. God is light. And in Him is no darkness at all. Purity is a life of sweet communion with God. Purity is a life of freedom. David said, God, forgive me and restore unto me my free spirit. Freedom from sin. Freedom to think normal. Freedom to have one's mind on the things of God. Oh, you think, wait a minute. You know what? When people are thinking about sin, they aren't thinking about God. When a person's mind is constantly fighting and battling with sin, because they've been defiled by it, they don't have the joy of fellowship with God. Their sweet fellowship with God. Communion with God. There is such a thing as not wanting sin. Instead of wanting sin, there is such a thing as not wanting sin. Blessed are the pure in heart. Obviously, we see again the relationship. Mourning over sin is the very basis of the work of God in one's heart that says, blessed are the pure in heart. Sad to say, as you think about this, this really has to do with the true character of Christianity. Let's look at a few verses in the Bible. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Now, does that say, blessed are they that are not pure in heart, for they shall not see God? Hebrews chapter 12. Verse 14. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. And holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. I think what we see is the crux of knowing God. The central issue about knowing God. When one turns from their sin and they turn to Jesus Christ to save them from their sin. Notice I said save them from their sin. I didn't say save them from hell. Save them from their sin. Some people want a fire escape. They don't want to be saved from their sin. They want a fire escape from their sin, but they don't want to be saved from their sin. Doesn't make sense, does it? You see, that's why one trusts Jesus Christ as their Savior. They want to be saved from their sin. They want to be saved from the defilement of sin. They want to be saved from this monster, sin. You haven't found it out, young person, yet. Sin is bigger than you. Sin is stronger than you. Sin is more powerful than you. You can't handle it. No one can. Sin makes a strong man into a piece of bread. When people are sick of sin, there's a Savior who died for their sin. the Lord Jesus. Christ came not into this earth to condemn us. He came to save us. We're already condemned because of our sin. We're already doomed and damned because of sin. He came to rescue us from our sin. One who is saved has come to the truth about sin. They've come to the truth about turning from their sin and turning to God's provision, the Lord Jesus, who died and rose again from the dead, who's living, who not only died for our sin, but rose again for our life. That's the true character of Christianity, is dealing with sin. You see, purity is at the very heart of what it means to trust Jesus Christ. Purity is at the very heart of what it means to trust Jesus as our Savior from sin. And it becomes the characteristic seed, thought, principle of Christianity. It is the key principle of spiritual understanding. Psalm 73. The writer of this psalm was looking at the world and saying, you know what? Verse 13, I have cleansed my heart in vain. I've washed my hands of innocency. For all the day long I've been plagued and chastened. But what about the wicked? Verse 3, for I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. And you know what? Sometimes we get in a backslidden state and we are envious at the wicked. We want the sin of the world, whatever it is, when we're backslidden. Sin looks good. Someone said sin is always temporary insanity. But notice Psalm 73:16. When I thought to know this, it was too painful for me. Until I went into the sanctuary of God, then understood I their end. What is he saying? He got into the holy place. He snapped into reality, we say. He was away from God. He wasn't thinking godly. He wasn't right with God. And he got into the sanctuary and he got right with God. He got on God's ground. And all of a sudden, his eyes were opened. Instead of being envious at the wicked, what did he see? Verse 18. Surely thou didst set them in slippery places. Thou castest them down into destruction. How they are brought into desolation as in a moment. First, he's thinking, when he's backslidden, boy, I wish I could have some of that in my life. Why should I live this straight and narrow life? And when his eyes were opened, when he got in fellowship with God, he says, no way. That's just for a moment. That's a slippery place. That's a slippery slope. I can see how evil it is. Someone has said every Christian is either in a state of revival or needs to be revived. And when people are in a state of needing revival, sin looks enticing. And I'm afraid much of Christianity is all about trying to be as much like the world as possible. And you know what they're missing? You know what new evangelicalism is missing? Holiness. They have not gotten into the holy place. Of course, that's the history of revival. The history of revival is people have gotten so far from God, they've lost concept of the holiness of God. And when revival swept the scene, people sensed the presence of a holy God. And they began to tremble and shake and mourn and weep over their sinfulness. Purity of heart is the true characteristic of Christianity. Without it, no man shall see God. There ought to be in the heart of everyone who knows Jesus Christ a heart to be pure. A heart to follow Him. A heart to obey Him. A heart to be free from the defilement of the sin of life and of this world. It's the key of fellowship. If we walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. Isn't that wonderful? And cleanses us from all sin. The working of the blood of Christ in the believer's life. As we conclude, think of this verse, He that loveth pureness of heart, for the grace of His lips the King shall be his friend. Notice it talks about how Proverbs 22:11, that pureness of heart has an effect on the outside. Has an effect on the outside. Could I make it simple? If we lack pureness in heart, we're going to look like it on the outside. We're going to try to imitate the world. We're going to try to advertise who we think is admirable. We will display it. Our thoughts, our actions, our desires will show where our heart is. Delight thyself in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Blessed are the pure in heart. You know, there's a big contrast between that the defilement of sin. And temptations of sin and worldliness and all of that, there's a big contrast between that and the person who give you the ideal situation, the person who is winning people to Christ. And they're thinking about souls. They're thinking about being right with God. And they're thinking about the joy of leading people to Christ. And they're thinking of the sweet fellowship of serving God. Sin has lost its grip on that life. And the things of God have gained the prominence of that mind. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. The very root of God's work in our life. Singleness of mind devoted to God. Purity of mind and thought and will to be pure from defilement and sin and desirous to be in fellowship with God. Perhaps today we need to be reminded of purity of heart starts with mourning over our sin. Seeing sin as how sinful it is. And weeping over it. And in humility turning to the Lord. It gives the impetus. It's the key to the heart and the mind and the will to be energized to live a holy life and to walk with God. Perhaps that's where the Lord is speaking to us today. Perhaps the Lord is, you are sitting there in that pew and you are saying, exactly. What a wonderful thing to be walking a life of purity. And there are many here who live that kind of life, are seeking to. It is a blessed life. Whose words are you going to depend on? The words of Jesus? Or the words of the scoffer? Who makes a mock at sin. The scoffer who calls purity legalism. Whatever religious negative they can throw out. You're going to believe the words of Jesus, young person? And seek to live a pure and godly life? You're going to believe the words of Jesus? Surrender your life to Him. Serve Him with all your heart. You're going to believe the words of Jesus? You will find that's the blessed life. That's the life of blessing. And there is no comparison to it. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Let's bow in prayer. Father, thank You for Your word today. Lord, we know that these truths are in great contrast to so much religion that has all this stuff on the outside, has nothing of obedience and surrender on the inside. A lot of talk, but very little conformity to you. We live in a world that mocks at religion and righteousness, that knows nothing about innocence. How sad. Lord, I pray that young people would realize it is blessed to be pure. It starts with a purity of heart that comes from a heart that is mourning over sin, a heart that desires to be pure in every way before God. And Lord, where there is sin and the draw of sin, may that be turned from today. Where there is the defilement of sin, where there is bondage because of sin that has been allowed to rule, Lord, might there be a yearning to be free from such. May, Lord, our desires be to walk with you and to have that blessed fellowship with you moment by moment. Lord, do the work that needs to be done even in our hearts as we deal honestly before you, for you desire truth on the inward parts. Lord, help your people to turn from sins that defile the mind and the eyes and the heart and the spirit. Help them to turn to thee for cleansing, for a purifying work, for fellowship. Lord, work in our midst. Well, heads are bowed and eyes are closed.